The Book of Lamentations is certainly a sad book. It is Jeremiah's lament over the destruction of Jerusalem. And of course, Jerusalem was a great city, but also it was the home of many, many thousands and thousands of people. And many of them had lost their lives. Others, of course, had suffered and were still suffering. And it was one of the low points in Israel's history because there had been so much devastation and many of the people had been taken as captives to a faraway land. And so Jeremiah is mourning over the sad state of the city of Jerusalem. It says in Lamentations chapter 3, beginning at verse 21, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him." The people were suffering. Even Jeremiah had suffered much as a prophet. But still he remembered and reminded them of God's mercies. There was still hope. Other nations had become extinct because of their sinful behavior. All they had to do was to look about for the Canaanites and realize that God had taken them out of the land, and now they inhabited that land. But there was still hope. And of course, there were many messages in the prophets that there were better times ahead, but this was one of the times of sadness. So Jeremiah talks about putting his trust and his hope in God. He said that God's mercies are new every morning. You know, morning is such a beautiful time of the day. We get up in the morning and we look out and everything seems to be fresh, and the birds, they're going about their business, and it seems like it's just a new beginning. And certainly God gives us a new beginning. And that if our trust is in him, just like the prophet said, his mercies are new every morning, because great is his faithfulness. Spiritually, we receive new mercies from God every day. And so he says, I have hope. And we can have hope, because we remember that though things may not be ideal for us, in fact, things may even be in desperate situations at times, that God is present. Never forget that God has promised not to leave us. This single fact should brighten every morning, that when you rise from your bed, be thankful that you could do so. That when you sit down to your breakfast, that remember that there are many people who sat down if they had a place to sit with nothing. And so God blesses us in so many ways. And so remember that he is present. And always keep that in your minds as you go through your day. That God is there. You cannot see him because, of course, he is invisible, but he promised to be with us. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, "One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." God is everywhere. And so there's no place that we can find ourselves but what God is there. His presence should lift our spirits. Sometimes we can get depressed. Sometimes we can just feel so low because of the situations that might be going on in our lives, in our families' lives, in the nation, whatever it might be, and we can feel bad. There is something better that we can look to. His presence should lift our spirits. Notice what the prophet Isaiah said in chapter 40 and beginning at verse 28. "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, And to them that have no might he giveth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Here the prophet contrasts the physical strength and stamina of young people with the spiritual strength and stamina of people who trust in the Lord. He says, your physical strength, that'll carry you for a while. And sometimes it's great to have it, but he says the time will come when that will fail you. But that will not answer the need of the hour. And then you're going to have some other strength to draw on. And he says, these are the ones who wait upon the Lord. Like a person who is able to mount up like with wings of eagles to fly over our troubles, because we know someday we will leave our troubles behind us, and they will not follow us, and neither will they trouble us anymore, because in Christ we can have renewal every day, because again, his mercies are new every morning. Remember that he is the faithful God. There, of course, is no other God. But God is faithful. And the idea behind faithful is that he is reliable. You can trust in him. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. You can depend on God. He won't let you down. But of course, again, we must put our trust in him and remember that the reverses of this life are not a measure of our success as far as he's concerned. The problems that we endure in this life are not an indication of somehow that we have fallen out of favor with him, or that he is neglecting us, or that somehow he has not noticed that we have a problem. There is great strength, great endurance, if we will put our trust in him. He will never abandon his faithful people. Psalms 100 and verse 5, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. The key to it is to keep on trusting. That's what Jeremiah had to do. Things were dark. Things were difficult. He had enemies. There were very many physical problems. The city was in ruins. But he had to keep looking to God and remember that God's mercies would eventually bear fruit and things would be better. But also, besides being with us and never abandoning us, remember that his blessings continue. First of all, we have abundant physical blessings. Notice that the earth remains inhabitable. A lot of things have been done and are being done that sometimes are deplorable as far as man's care of this planet. But we see in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. God's going to keep this planet going around. And he is looking out after his people. Jesus is coming again someday. That means there's going to be a place to come to. And Paul talked about those of us that are alive and remain. That means there's going to be people living here when the Lord returns. And so we should not get so, you might say, panicked about what's going to happen. God is taking care of this little blue dot that swings around in its orbit around the sun. But also we need to remember that God is impartial in his care. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, Jesus said, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Otherwise, God is fair. And certainly we can see that here in this land, that things are pretty prosperous. And certainly we should be thankful for that, because God is fair. God is impartial. We certainly have abundant spiritual blessings as well. We have great incentives, first of all, to repent of sin. What would be an encouragement for people to repent? Well, certainly somebody might say, well, the promise of punishment. Isn't that enough to cause people to repent? But I know something better, something, a more powerful incentive to turn from sin. And that thing is Jesus Christ. Acts 3:26 says, "Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities." I believe one of the most powerful incentives to a righteous life is the knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. That is, knowing about him and knowing what Jesus paid to make it possible for us to be saved, that is something that will motivate every good and honest heart to turn to God in gratitude, not out of fear. Now, of course, if we need fear, there's plenty to be afraid of if you're persisting in sin. But try to rise above that. Try to be motivated by something positive. And that, of course, is the love of God as seen in his Son. In Christ, we have all that we need. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Look at how our nation is blessed by the Word of God. This country has free access to the Bible. Anybody that wants to read the Word of God can do so. There were times and in places where the Bible wasn't available. Either it had just never gone there yet, or if it did, it was in a language that the people didn't understand. Or it was chained to the pulpit in some cathedral, and you couldn't go in there and read it. Or if it was there and you could read it, you had to read it in the original or in the Latin and not in your own tongue. Today we have free access to the Word of God. There's so many spiritual blessings that are found in Christ. You know, when things are down, when things are sad, we have the wonderful privilege of prayer and knowing that God hears and that he attends unto those things that we ask. And of course, we ask according to his will, and then we patiently wait. Every morning, these blessings come to us again and again. But another reason to put our trust in God and to remember that his mercies are new every morning is that the old things are passed away. When the morning comes, the night has ended. Night is, of course, a time of darkness. And sometimes it's fearful because we don't know who's out there. We don't know what's going on. As I used to say, things always look darker at night. It's like pain. Pain seems to be worse at night. And we worry more at night. But when the day comes, oftentimes those things pass away. They leave our minds and we're engaged in what we must do. And for a while, we're not burdened by our troubles. Well, in Christ, indeed, the old things have passed away. Our past mistakes, our sins have been erased. This is a wonderful benefit of walking in the light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, "If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." As we continue to follow Jesus, and that's walking in the light, his blood keeps on cleansing us so that the mistakes, the sins of yesterday are no more. They're passed away. Now, the consequences may remain, and the memory of them may remain, but the guilt of them has been taken away. And we have God's word on that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And when he says the old things are passed away, there's a number of things that have passed away. The old law passed away. But also our sins have passed away. And now in Christ we are a new creature. God's mercies are new every morning for his new creatures every morning. God has given us a new life. Again, we often think of little children. The child is born into the world and there's a new life. There's a new start, something fresh and beautiful. And, you know, there are great hopes and great expectations. And sometimes those are realized. But God has given us a new spiritual life. Our physical life that we live goes on from the time we're born. But in Christ, when we were raised from the waters of baptism, we became a new creature. Paul says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, therefore being buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That new life, in a sense, begins every morning. Because every morning when we begin a new day, if we're being faithful to God, we have a new start. The old has passed away, and now we have a new day. Sometimes people make the statement, today is the first day of the rest of my life. There's a lot of truth in that, because now we have the right to decide, who am I going to live this day for? Am I going to live it for God and according to his way? Or am I going to let the world set the agenda? Consequences may remain, but the debt is gone. We must live our lives like this on a daily basis by keep looking forward. You know, Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and following, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, we can dwell on the past, and we can think about the mistakes that we've made. We can think about what other people have done to us. We can think about what might have been. And all that is pretty much useless. Paul said, forget those things and look forward. Look forward to that prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let his transforming power work in you. Remember, God's mercies are new every morning. And with that hope that we can be new too. Colossians chapter 3 verse 10 says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. You see, we become new people when we obey Christ. We need to remember that God's promises are sure. Again, Jeremiah knew that there were many great promises yet unfulfilled. And he knew that there were brighter days ahead. They were in dark days, in those days when Jerusalem was destroyed. And many of them were going to go far away and live in Babylon for a long time. But the day would come when they would be restored. They would come back and they would rebuild and grow and prosper. And eventually the Savior would walk the streets of Jerusalem, Jesus Christ. But also he would walk what is called the Via Dolorosa, the Way of Sorrows, there to Golgotha. And though it was a dark day in the history of Jerusalem, it was a day that Christians can look back to and realize that that was really the beginning of the brightest thing that ever happened, that salvation had come to the world in the person of Jesus Christ. You see, God hasn't lied to us. Titus chapter 1 verse 2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. We need to put our trust in that promise, that this life isn't all there is. And though it has many reverses, it also has many blessings, but the best is yet to come. Israel is an example of God's fidelity. Again, like in the time of Jeremiah, in chapter 32 and verse 42, "For thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them." Here God is saying, this is a dark time. I've brought a lot of the evil that they had, as it were, invited into their lives as a consequence of their sinful behavior. But he says, there are so many good things in my promises, and I'll bring them as well. Again, we need to remember that God is faithful. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful who promised." Never give up. Never give up on the promise of the resurrection. Romans chapter 8, verse 11, "But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by that spirit which dwelleth in you." It quickens us here now, in that we have the spiritual life to be engaged in the work of God. But there's a greater quickening that will come when Jesus calls forth the dead from their graves, and we will be raised immortal. And if we've been faithful to God, then again, although we think of the end of life as a dark time, it's not really the end. It's just a step behind the great eternal life that God has promised for us. And so when we think of God's mercies, remember God is present. He hasn't deserted us. And remember that he continues to give blessings and many things that help us in our physical lives and our spiritual lives. Don't forget that the old has passed away. That if we're walking in Christ, walking in the light, his blood has cleansed us of our sins. And so that we're new every day. His promises are sure. He will not renege on his promises, but will faithfully fulfill them in their proper time. This morning, if you have faith in Christ, believe he is God's Son, if you will confess that faith, repent of sin, and be buried with him in baptism, you have God's promise that if you're faithful, eternal life will be yours. As a Christian, if you have somehow allowed the things of this life to discourage you, and that you have become maybe pessimistic, well, repent of that and realize that God's promises are sure, his mercies are new every morning. Repent, ask God to forgive. Our song of encouragement's for you as we stand and as we sing.